When I was a kid, my family had a station wagon. You guys remember station wagons? We had the, it was blue. It was, I think it was a Chevy Malibu Classic with wood paneling, if I remember correctly. That's a great idea. Let's put wood on the outside of a car. But we had a family of six, so four kids, and it was the type of station wagon where, like, four of you got a seat, a real seat, and the other two of you had to sit opposite of everybody else in the back and just kind of wave awkwardly at the people driving behind you. Well, one day my dad was at work, and so it was my mom driving the rest of us, and we got a flat tire. And my mom is not really the kind of change a flat tire kind of mom. So she gets out and she's not really sure exactly what to do or whatever. And we're young, so we're kind of going nuts. Well, there's this guy, just some random guy pulls up behind us and he offers to change the tire for us. So my mom says, yeah. So she's sitting in the car with us, helping us keep us calm. And he's, you know, changing the tire. He was just doing a good deed. And it was nice. I mean, it'd be one thing for someone to just drive by, you know, look at you, see if you're okay, and then drive on. But he actually took the time to get out of his car and change the tire. He took some action to help someone in need. And I know that that meant a whole lot to my mom. We are in a series called The Ministry of the Gospel of Christ. Today is part two. We are looking at how, like last week, we spread the gospel by word. Today we're looking at how we demonstrate the gospel by deed, by what we do. The passage we looked at last week was Romans 15. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So we spread the gospel by word, and we also spread it by deed. There's overlap between those for sure, but today we're going to focus on the by deed part. So turn in your Bibles, if you've got one, to James chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some in the pews. Grab the blue Bible. Turn to James chapter 2. Encourage you to follow along. That word for deed is found in many places in the New Testament, and this is one of the most common that people know. So James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you to mold us, change us. You are the potter, we are the clay. We make ourselves moldable, not hardened, before you. Would you show us your truth in your word today? Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us. We are listening. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in this passage, it says faith and works. That same word, that word works, is the same word for deed that we just read a minute ago. It's the same concept. So to kind of summarize this little passage, it means our faith in Jesus produces fruit. Faith in Jesus produces fruit. So, works or deeds are the result of our faith in Christ. It comes after salvation occurs. A lot of people have it backward. They think that they have to be a good person, then they can go to heaven. Or they think, I got to clean up my life, then I can come to Jesus. I got to get cleaned up, and then I can become saved. That's backwards. We come to Jesus, and He fixes us. And so when we have good works, it's the fruit of Jesus changing us from the inside. And little by little, we start to look more and more like Jesus. Do you look like Jesus? Do I look like Jesus? I'm not talking about physically. I'm just talking about the way that you are. Do you act like Jesus? Do you treat others the way Jesus would treat them? So what would be an example of that? Well, we just read it. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, one of you says, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? In other words, if someone, for example, is hungry, and we just say, I'll pray for you, and move on, that's not really taking care of them the way I think Jesus would. He took care of their physical needs, too. Jesus fed the 5,000. It was more than 5,000, really. He preached, he taught, he healed their sick, and he fed them. They got the whole package, all the benefits of the kingdom, so to speak. Just like that guy that stopped when we were in that station wagon. He took care of our physical need. We can also offer to pray. We just do both. Disaster relief is another example of this. We, as a church, are big in that. And, you know, when there something happens, a tornado or flood comes through, we try to help out in ways that we can. Our denomination does a pretty good job with that. But what if you can't go to help? There are other ways that we can show the love of Christ with our actions. Sometimes we just don't think about it. So when I, last time I mentioned, there was this evangelist, his name is Jay John, and he was like an adult when he was born again. I think he was in his 30s. And he said he took the same route to work every day for like 6 months. And then he got born again. And then the next day he went to work the same route, and he saw a homeless guy there, and he started to talk to the homeless guy and started a conversation with him. And the guy was like, yeah, I've been standing here every day for 6 months or something. And Jay John was like, really? I just never noticed it. He got born again, and then he started to notice other people who were in need. Are we noticing those in need around us? If you can't think of the last time you noticed someone in need, ask the Lord to open your eyes to those in need. I mean, I think we could all use a little bit of that to some degree. There are times that where I've either not noticed or been too busy or just kind of focused in my own world, right? Are we noticing those in need around us? We have Tabitha's table, right? Monday night, if someone needs a hot meal, they can come get a free hot meal. That's great. We have the mission closet on Monday mornings. If they need clothing, they can come and get that. That's great. As a church, we're doing those things. But I'm kind of talking more individually. Just day to day, personally, when I pull up to a stoplight and say I see someone with a cardboard sign, do I turn the other way, act like I'm looking for something? Do I avoid eye contact? Or do I engage and try to help with whatever way I can? Does my heart go out to them? Or have I become cynical? When I was in college, I went to UT, and like on Cumberland Avenue, there's typically a lot of homeless people around there. And at that time, I was, it was probably 2005, my buddies and I, we would, you know, we'd try to help those guys out. We'd get them some McDonald's or something. We saw this one guy, and we were like, let's try to do something more. Let's get some groceries so he has more than one meal. So we go get some groceries, and we come back, and we bring it to him. And that was kind of earlier in that evening. Well, we finished doing whatever we were doing. We come back, and we run into him again that same night, and he didn't have the groceries anymore. And we were like, where are the groceries? You know, what happened? And he said, I think someone stole it. I mean, it was just real fishy. It just seemed like he was lying. Seemed like he probably sold the stuff for various things. And unfortunately, that hardened my heart toward giving to the homeless or to people in need. I don't know. Maybe you can relate to that. There's other times, like there's TV shows that I've seen, especially like in the 90s, I think. They'd show like these homeless guys who were scammers who weren't really homeless. They just didn't want to work. And so they would stand out there and get free money. And then they'd go back to their nice houses. And it hardened my heart more. It wasn't until several years later, a church in Cookeville, the pastor was talking on this topic. And he said, don't let a couple people who maybe take advantage of it keep you from following that prompting. Following that leading to be generous and to be helpful. And I feel like that broke that cynicism off of me. And I started giving again. I'm not saying this so I can be like, ooh, look at me. I'm saying it because I was in the wrong. I had a bad attitude about it. What I'm trying to say is this. Cynicism doesn't produce good fruit. And if you're cynical about giving or helping those in need, I would encourage you, ask the Lord to help you with that. Don't get cynicism. Don't get cynical. Don't get jaded. We're supposed to give out of the love of our hearts. What they do with it is really between them and the Lord. All right, let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We're going to start in verse 31. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. This is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him. Then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you notice in verse 37, it says the righteous will answer him. You know, when did we do those things? They were already righteous before they did them. They didn't become righteous from doing them. In other words, they weren't righteous because they did good deeds. They did good deeds because they had been made righteous by Jesus. Jesus Christ wipes away our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness when we're born again. We become the righteousness of God right now. They're righteous before they get to heaven. We're righteous right now before the Lord. Now, yes, we still sin, but we are saints who still sin. In the eyes of the Lord, he's forgiven all our iniquity and remembers our sin no more. So it's easy to kind of mistake what's being said in this passage and think, oh, this is like a to-do list of what I got to do to get into heaven. Now, they were already righteous before then. These things are like a natural result of being born again and following Jesus. His Holy Spirit comes to live inside us, and then we start to see people with compassion. Let's look at those in need with compassion, not criticism or cynicism. We're born again, and so God gives us a heart for others. He gives us that desire to help those in need. Are you ignoring the prompting to help someone? Am I ignoring? Are we too busy? Or are we making ourselves available? Lord, I'll help. I'll give. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just show me what to do. How can I help? Verse 41, it says, the cursed, or you cursed. They were cursed because they hadn't received Jesus. In other words, they were still under the curse of the law. They weren't cursed because they failed to do those things. They were cursed, still under the law, still under the judgment of the law, because they hadn't received Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we are no longer under law, we are under grace. Exactly. So good deeds are the fruit of righteousness, not the root of righteousness. Faith produces fruit. It's interesting, it says sheep and goats. Well, those are two different species. I mean, they might look the same outwardly or similar, but they're not the same. A goat cannot become a sheep just by trying to be a really nice goat. A sinner cannot become a new creation just by trying to be a really nice sinner. We have to become made new by Christ. We are a new creation. We are born again of spirit. His Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We're not like the world. The sheep is not like the goats. So we should produce different fruit. If Jesus were here in person, like in the flesh, and someone comes in that maybe, you know, maybe someone's having a rough time, their life is a mess or whatever, how would Jesus deal with them? Let's do that. Would he ignore them? Yeah. So let's do that. Do we have a heart for those in need? Do we have a heart for the lost? Do we have compassion for the lost? We've been given a new nature, and the fruit of a new nature is loving others. John 13, this is Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So how do we love them? We love them the way Jesus does, the way Jesus loves us, the way Jesus loved the people in the Bible when he was on earth. Like, Jesus hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with sinners. He would go eat at the house of Pharisees. What was he doing? He was bringing the light into the darkness. And people were drawn to Jesus because of his love for them. So John chapter 8, there's this lady that's caught in adultery. And the Pharisees are wanting to stone her. What does Jesus say? Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Instead of throwing or casting stones at people whose life is a mess, we need to be dropping our stones and remember, wait a minute, Christ has forgiven me, and show them grace and mercy. Unfortunately, the world has gotten used to seeing Christians casting stones at people, throwing stones at people, when we should be showing grace and mercy. So what's the difference between grace and mercy? I want to give credit to my friend Neil for this kind of this picture here. So let's say I'm driving in a car and I'm speeding and I get pulled over. Cop comes up, he gives me a ticket. That would be justice, all right? To put it simply, justice is getting what you deserve. I was speeding, I deserve a ticket, I got a ticket. That's justice. Now let's say this time I'm speeding, I get pulled over, and a cop comes up and he doesn't give me a ticket. He just lets me go. That's mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. I deserve the ticket, but I didn't get it. That's mercy. Now let's say I'm speeding. This time I'm speeding. I get pulled over. The cop comes up. He says, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but here's $1,000. All right. That's grace. You're getting something that you don't deserve. I'm getting $1,000 that I don't deserve. I'm getting $1,000 even though I deserve a ticket. We have all sinned. We all deserve hell, which is eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve. It is just for God to send a sinner to hell. But he's forgiven us of our sins. That's mercy. He's taken away. We're not getting the eternal punishment that we deserve because of what Jesus did. And on top of that, he's giving us his righteousness. And he's giving us the benefits of the kingdom. That's grace. We're getting righteousness that we don't deserve. And we're getting the benefits of the kingdom. That's awesome. And I think this is what happens. A lot of times, Christians, well-meaning, will really focus in on that justice part. Particularly with the world. And they'll point out your sin. You know, turn or burn would be kind of a stereotype. They only focus on the sin part, the justice part. And they'd leave out the grace and the mercy. God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance, right? Let's bring the grace and the mercy back into our message. Let's win people over not by telling them how bad their sin is, but by telling them how good Jesus is. So if you see someone whose life is a mess and you start thinking, wow, they're probably just lazy. They're probably just irresponsible. And I start getting real cynical. What am I doing? I'm actually saying they deserve to be in a mess. I'm playing the justice card. I'm judging. Rather than remembering, wait a minute, there's times that I'm irresponsible. There's times that I'm lazy. And God has dealt with me with grace and mercy. So I can give grace and mercy to them. When we show grace and mercy, we spread the gospel of Christ by deed, by what we do. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Is our faith producing fruit? Would people be surprised to find out that you're a Christian? Or would they be like, if it was the world, the non-Christians, would they be surprised to find out that you're a Christian? Or they'd be like, you know what? I could tell something was different about you. And it's a good thing. I was drawn to it. That evangelist that I mentioned, J. John, he said, okay, if you think about the word Christian, right? It's got the word Christ and then I-A-N. And he said, a lot of Christians look more like Ian than they look like Christ. We look more like the world than we do Jesus. When people look at us, do they see Jesus? Or do they see, sorry if your name is Ian, do they see the world? I don't know about you, but I want people to see Jesus when they look at me. I want people to see Jesus. All right, our last passage, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, starting at verse 14. This is Jesus speaking again. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That word works is the same word for deed. Look at this glass. A lot of people think that the way I get to heaven is I got to clean up the glass. As long as the glass is clean, that's how I get to heaven. But going to heaven is really just having a relationship with the Lord. And that starts now. John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light. When we get saved, he comes to dwell within us. So now it's his light in us. That's why he says we're the light of the world. We're not really the light of the world in and of ourselves. It's because he's in us. His Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's him in us shining through us. And the world is in darkness. And when we come in and we demonstrate the love of Christ, not just by word, but also by deed, people get to see the light. They get to see Jesus in us. And it's different than what they're used to. They're used to the world, or they're used to other people being mean to them, being uninterested, not caring, being rude. But when they see how we treat them with mercy and with grace and compassion, then they get to actually see Jesus and they're drawn to him. God wants to use us, even today, to shine his light in the darkness so that people will be drawn to him. He's not waiting for us to have our act together before he'll use us. Sometimes I think we think that. I got to fix this in my life before God can use me. We disqualify ourselves. God's not doing that. He's just looking for people who are available to be used and who are willing to be used. He shines his light through our words and through our deeds. So let's share the love of Christ with what we say, and let's demonstrate the love of Christ with what we do. Let's go take the light of the world out into the world. Not just in this building, but actually out into the world. And let's let his light shine through us so that people will be drawn to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. You've given us forgiveness of sins. We thank you for your grace. You've given us righteousness that we do not deserve. Out of gratitude, may we walk more and more in step with you. May we be a light to the people around us, not so that they see us, but so that they see you. So that they see you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.